As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2022. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Matt Fouts, Director, Tanganyika Wildlife Park. Welcome to Issues 2022, Matt. Nice to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Why don't you give us a little history this morning. When and how did Tanganyika Wildlife Park get started, Matt?
Yeah, so Tanganyika was started by my parents, Jim and Sherry Fouts. And, you know, Jim was actually one of the original zookeepers out at the Sedgwick County Zoo when it first opened back in the 1970s. I think when he started there, they just had the farms. So it was right at the very beginning. But as it grew, he got to take on more responsibility. He was actually one of the original keepers for the elephants and Stephanie when they first came. So that's kind of how he started out, and eventually got into bird breeding, was doing his own thing, and from there, transitioned to mammals, and kind of wanted to build this world-class collection or a world-class breeding facility for rare and endangered species out here in Goddard, and you know, just kind of grew from there.
When did that start? When did you first start the park?
Yeah, so we built our first barn out here in 1985. So we've been out here breeding animals for over 35 years now, I guess, but. It wasn't until 2000 that we started doing private tours just in the backyard where they got to see like 7 species of animals, but they got to feed the lemurs through the fence and feed the giraffes. So that was, you know, pretty cool for people. And then, you know, by 2004 or five, we're doing almost 4,000 or 5,000 people in this little backyard tour. So we were like, you know, we should just build a zoo from the ground up. And that's what we did. The park officially opened August 2nd, 2008. So we're coming up on our 13th anniversary.
So how big is the park?
So in terms of land, we have about 100 acres, but the park itself right now that guests access is about 25. So we have quite a bit of room for expansion. We have, you know, a little over, I think, 500 animals right now. So I think it's the third largest collection in the state of Kansas. So Sedgwick County and Rolling Hills would be the other two that are larger. And so I don't know. I guess there's different ways to define size. That's two of the more common ones.
Well, let's just look at it this way. That's quite a bit of growth over just the past few years. You guys have really gone to town out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty crazy, the growth. I mean, we went from, in 2004 or 5, I think it was 2005, we had 4 employees. And now, you know, this year we have 140 on the payroll. So, you know, that's a significant amount of growth, especially for me as a leader. I've had to grow a lot to, you know, it's a lot different managing 3 people versus 140. So,
yeah. Well, and you're not, you're all a private organization. You're not funded by the county or the city or anybody, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So we are family owned. We're private. And unlike most zoos, you know, Sedgwick County is obviously, but most zoos are usually, you know, kind of government. They're either owned or operated or subsidized by a, you know, a local government of some sort. And so we are not. and 100% of what we need to create these world-class breeding facilities and provide the care for all the animals here comes from people coming out to the park and visiting or having a corporate event or whatever it might be.
Tell me about your involvement with the park. I get the impression, Matt, that you're a hands-on type of leader. I know you were doing a big chore yesterday. I don't know if you want to talk about what you were doing, but you had something exciting going on.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, I took over as director was last February, so a little over a year ago. Jim took the title of director emeritus, so he's still very involved with his animal collection and everything, but I'm overseeing most all the day-to-day functions of the park, and yesterday was definitely an exciting day. We got five new white rhinos from Africa, so Jim has been working on importing. He imports a lot of animals for zoos, a lot of rhinos, even helped import the elephants for Sedgwick County when they came. So he helped source them in Africa and everything. We didn't get to talk about it much, but you know, he's very involved with that. And so we got five of our own rhinos this time from Africa, and they're white rhinos. So it's the first time we've had white rhinos to go with our two Indian rhinos that we currently have. And so, yeah, it's been a chore. It was, you know, trying to get all the permits lined up and then the flights and then COVID happened. And it's taken us almost 3 years to make this happen. And so it was a pretty awesome feeling getting them unloaded yesterday. You know, when we finally got them here and out of the crates and into their new barn and everything. So they will be off exhibit, but they're going to be part of our new safari park when we get it opened up.
I get this picture of these animals. You can't put them in a business class jets and bring them over. You got to ship them in some sort of a pretty large aircraft, right?
Yeah, well, you know, what's crazy about that, I think most people don't realize that most of the animals do actually transport on passenger planes. So maybe not business jets, but they... you know, when you're flying over on that 747 or whatever it might be, they're actually in the cargo hold down below you. So, you know, that's where a lot of the airlines make a lot of their money is actually on freight, not so much on the passengers. And so Jim has a lot of great stories about basically he flies with them, but he'll be up in a passenger seat, but they're down in the cargo hold. But he's got a lot of great stories about some of his imports and stuff. But yeah, they're just down there in the cargo hold with your suitcase. You didn't even realize it.
Well, I'll talk about something a little negative here for a second, but everybody's been through this. How has the COVID pandemic impacted your operation, Matt?
Yeah, I think, you know, it definitely forced us to think outside the box a little bit. I mean, being an outside venue, we were a little less affected than I think a lot of, you know, restaurants or even like concerts, that kind of thing. But we definitely had to navigate through it. And it wasn't easy. We did make a commitment to our team to retain everybody. So we did do that, but, we made some changes to, you know, we added the reservations and we added some different things just to try and help with staffing and make sure that we could keep people distanced and all that kind of stuff. So, it definitely impacted us, you know, dropped our attendance and all that stuff. And, you know, the animals don't care whether there's a pandemic or not. They don't care if you have one visitor or 1,000 visitors, they still want to be taken care of. So, you know, that cost, it wasn't able, like, you know, restaurant, you can just kind of turn off the lights and not order any food and you can cut your costs, down significantly. But with the animals, we didn't really have that opportunity. So it was definitely tough, but we made it through. And of course, with all the stimulus money last year, it was great. People were out and glad to be out and spending money. And so it seems this year with the economy and no more stimulus and different things are starting to tighten up a little bit. We're seeing that, I think. But
yeah, sounds like you've survived anyway. How many?
We did.
How many visitors, let's talk about attendance a little bit. How many visitors does the park entertain in a year's time? Let's say a non-pandemic year's time.
So I think we've maxed out at about 136,000 visitors.
Wow.
So, I mean, it puts us as one of the top attractions in the metro area, or at least one of the top paid attractions in the metro area. So
easily. Where do your visitors come from? Do you ever do any surveying or questioning folks and find out where they're from?
Yeah, we've done some of that, and then we also try to when you know the new reservation system. A lot of times you can track zip codes, which can be helpful. So we obviously see the biggest majority from here in Goddard on the west and the west side of Wichita, but I think our next most popular zip code is Derby, which is interesting. And then from there, you know, we pull about 35-40% of people outside the metro area. Well, yeah, outside the metro area. So, and about 20% of that is from outside the state, which is pretty cool. So I know when the pre-pandemic, the state was tracking visitation, the travel and tourism division, and I think we were pulling in the second most number of visitors from outside of Kansas, other than number one was Sedgwick County, obviously, with they have a much larger attendance, but yeah. We were number two. So I thought for all outdoor attractions in the state of Kansas, that was pretty cool.
When now you have, is it a splash park? Is that what we call it then? And when did you add that facility?
So it actually came online at the end of 20. It was supposed to come online earlier in the year, but COVID. So it came online at the very end of 20. And then, you know, the grand opening was last year in Memorial Day weekend. And so it's been a little over, you know, almost 2 years, I guess, if you count the fall, the part that it was open in the fall.
Is it pretty popular with your guests?
Oh, yeah. It's been incredibly popular. And, of course, as it gets hotter, right? Yeah. It's nice. I think the perfect complement to the splash park, though, was that we opened a bar right in between the playground and the splash park. So I think most adults have enjoyed that quite a bit, where they can sit back and let the kids play in the splash park or on the playground, and they can sit back and have a, you know, one of the local beers on tap or a frozen margarita. So okay. It's been a pretty big hit. I mean, if you're here towards the end of the day, the park will look empty, but as soon as you walk down to the splash park, you can see where everybody's at.
Ah, there you go. Hey, you're listening to Issues 2022 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Matt Fouts, director, Tanganyika Wildlife Park, which is in Goddard. Let's talk about the stars of your show, Matt, the animals. How many exhibits do you actually have?
So right now we have around 50 exhibits.
And how many animals does that mean, then?
that's a good question. I obviously it's not a one-to-one ratio, so some of the exhibits might have 6-7 animals, and some might have, like the rhinos have one. So I would say it's probably, I don't know, 100 seems low, but it's probably not 200. I mean, we have quite a few animals that just aren't on exhibit. Being that we still do a lot of breeding, we have breeding groups that aren't on exhibit. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that people can see behind the scenes if they do some of those experiences, like our lions or our Amur leopard. We have a melanistic or a black Amur leopard. There's less than 10 of them in the entire world. And so they can see some of those kinds of animals off exhibit on our behind the scenes tours.
Wow. Now, which of the animals do you think are most popular with the public? I mean, they come out of there, they're talking about something or one some animal.
Yeah, right. Usually it's something they interacted with, right? Like that's the power of the park, if you will, is that strengthening the connection between people and the natural world. And almost always it's something that they got to interact with, unless they're a big cat fan, right? Like they're not getting to interact with tigers when we had them or whatever. So, although that being said, on the behind the scenes with the leopards and the lions, you can actually use a feeding stick, but you do get to feed them. And so that's been really popular. But, you know, I think lemurs are probably our number one animal. A lot of people love our giraffes. Of course, we have, I think, one of the largest herd. I don't think I know. We have one of the largest herds of giraffe in the United States. So it's always pretty impressive to see. And there's, you know, youngsters in there. So you get all these different sizes. So I know those were two. When we had the white tigers, they were one of the more popular. And while our adults did retire, we do have a new baby named Grayson. That's a white tiger. And he just came to us here about a month or so ago. And he's been very popular. So people have been enjoying him.
So I mean, I think when I was out to the park, the lemur is a great animal. Is that the one you're not supposed to pet, or
yeah, so it can sit on your lap, but you're not supposed to touch it. Yeah. So it'll touch you, but you can't touch it.
Yeah, but what is that animal? Is it like a kangaroo, only it's smaller?
Which one?
It's not a kangaroo.
The lemurs?
No, the kangaroo. Oh. It's like a kangaroo, but it's not a lemur. But anyway.
Not a lemur. Yeah, I mean, we have the red kangaroos in there, obviously, and there's all different sizes in there as far as there's some younger ones and everything. But yeah.
You know, can you feed the giraffes? Is that true?
Yep, you can feed the giraffes. You can feed the pygmy hippos. You can feed the Indian rhinos.
Wow.
Of course, the lemurs, and then we have some lories, the lorikeets, and then the children's zoo animals, which is like bunnies, tortoises, and guinea pigs.
Yeah, tell me about your birds. You got a lot of birds out there.
So we've been adding birds. So the most recent area that we added new exhibits were, we call it the nest, or it's a little loop around where the lorikeet feeding was. So we have an Australian parrot called the lorikeet that people can come in and feed. But then, we've been adding some other different birds like macaws or cockatoos. We have some pretty cool pigeons, big crown pigeons and turacos, so toucans. So we've been adding some of the birds. I know, Jim started out in birds and he's always had a passion for them. And so he's been wanting to add some more to the park here. So we've been slowly adding some new species of birds.
You were talking about a behind-the-scenes tour. How does that work? Is that a separate ticket, or how do you get the behind-the-scenes tour then?
Yeah, so when you go to purchase your admission, you can after you've kind of selected the day you're going to come, it'll take you to another page, and it will show you all the different experiences that are available that day. And so, on any given day, there's probably 10 different experiences that you can do. And we do rotate some out. So sometimes we have what we call monthly exclusives where they're only available that month. So, you know, maybe once or twice a year, you can do these experiences. But we have so many that we try to kind of rotate them out. The other option is if you go to our website, twpark.com, you'll see a wildly different experiences and you can click that and then you can just book the experiences directly. So if you don't really want to walk around the park and you just want to do a sloth behind the scenes experience, or you just want to swim with the penguins, you can go straight to the website, just book those experiences by themselves and not do the park admission.
Okay. Now, I don't want to leave any animals out. Anybody that we don't want to not mention an animal, we might offend them. anything else you want to mention as far as your contact and people getting to have a real contact with these animals?
We want to encourage people to come out. I know, the park is a little more expensive than most zoos. And part of that is because we aren't subsidized, but part of that is because the experiences that we're providing, the wow moments and the lifetime memories are just, they're incredibly rare, but they're stuff that your kids and your other family members, your friends are not going to forget. Right. And so, we just want people to come out, strengthen that connection so that they'll help us and help other people just try to preserve species. So, when you come out, if you've been to the park but you haven't done an experience, I'd encourage you to add one on and really get that more personal, intimate experience with the animals.
One of the things you've talked about with me over the years, you and your parents, is, and something you've talked about briefly this morning, is exchanging animals. You're a breeding zoo. Tell me about that and how you do that.
Yeah, so, Jim, we have over 43 successful breeding programs for rare and endangered species here at the park. And we've been very, very good about it. I mean, the joke that we like to make is a lot of zoos think that it's Marvin Gaye, but really the secret's Barry Manilow, right? Like that's what the animal's like. I don't really know, but I think a lot of it's just we've focused on it. Our chief of care is just really good at, I guess, in tune to what the animals need in order to make sure that we're successful with those programs. And, like for the clouded leopards, we've increased the worldwide managed population of clouded leopards by over 20%, just our little family-owned zoo here, right here in Goddard. And we've definitely had an impact.
Yes, from what I've read and heard over the years, you take a wild animal and in captivity or a non-wild situation, that breeding can be pretty iffy. So you guys must know the secrets of the trade or what it takes to be successful at it.
Yeah, and I think when you, you know, just like any industry, right, you start getting into the politics and people start to make things mucky as far as, you know, they'll look at things sometimes and they'll be, well, clotted leopard A needs to breed with clotted leopard D genetically. That's the most valuable matchup.
Yeah. Yeah.
But once you break them up, they're not going to ever breed again, or they might, you know, do different things based on kind of what stud books, but you know, animals maybe not as complex as people, but they definitely aren't robots. So yeah. it doesn't always work that way. And like I said, Jim and Stephanie, our chief of care, they're just really good at kind of knowing how to navigate all that.
Matt, do you host schools field trips? Is that something you do?
Yes, we do. That was kind of how we started back in, you know, the early 2000s, was a lot of scout groups, school groups, that kind of thing. And so we've continued to do that in the spring. And so we don't do the guided tours anymore. They can add them, but they do get to do some interactions when they come out to the park. And I think, again, that's always been the key, is not just walking around and looking at animals. That's great, and that's a good step, but we really want people to be able to connect with them. And so we do include that in our school groups.
But do you have special events through the year?
Yeah, so we had our annual fundraisers called the Twilight Tour, and that was just back in June. And then we have a Halloween event called Pumpkins at the Park that will be taking place in October. And then this last year, we actually added a Safari of Lights, which was a drive-through light show, just to help kind of generate some revenue in the winter when we're closed. And that was very successful. So
wow.
We're looking to grow that again, you know, significantly this year as the second year.
For those who don't know, exactly where is Tanganyika Wildlife Park? I know I can get to it going out west, Maple, right?
Yep, you can take Maple. For most people, I think they're going to probably take Kellogg, but it's just on the west edge of Wichita. So just right there in Goddard, you're going to, if you're traveling Kellogg, you're going to go 1 mile north to Maple and then just head about another half mile west and you'll see Hawkins Lane. And it currently is dirt, but hopefully someday we'll get it paved.
How about that? Hey, yeah. What's new and exciting for Tanganyika in the near future?
Yeah, so, I mean, we, you know, obviously, I mentioned the baby white tiger we just got, so he's pretty cool. We want people to come out and see him. We had a baby pygmy hippo born that people is now on exhibit and people can see and feed. Well, he's learning how to feed at the station, but, you know, kind of looking a little bit longer term, we got the new white rhinos in, and they'll be part of our new safari park, which we're just planning and hoping to open maybe here in a year or two. But that's going to almost double or triple the size of the park. You'll get to access it through a train, a truck, or possibly even a kayak. But it's going to be a pretty awesome new addition to the park.
Wow. That part there sounds like a lot of fun. I don't look like a kayak. Huh? Okay. Anything, when we talk about fish, fowl, reptiles, anything as far as aqua, do you think it'll have a water? You ever have an aquarium or anything like that, you think?
I don't know. I know a lot of our keepers would love for us to get like sea lions or something like that. I don't know. When you start getting into like marine mammals, it's very expensive and probably more suited for a larger zoo. It'd be difficult for us, not impossible, but difficult. And then, you know, just regular aquarium stuff, I'm not going to rule it out. It's definitely I'm not opposed to having it. Just haven't had the situation where, you know, I thought it would be a good fit for us just yet, but right now, I guess we have otters and penguins and an alligator. I guess that's about as aquatic as we get. Oh, the fish, you can feed the koi in the creek. But that's so we got a little bit, but that's probably where we're going to be for a while.
Matt, you talked about this week unloading rhinos, and I know that was probably pretty hard work. What is it, though, about the park? What is it that makes you jump out of bed every morning and want to come to the Tanganyika Wildlife Park?
Yeah, and I think I alluded to it a little bit, but it's just, honestly, it's seeing people connect with the natural world. Like, you know, growing up with the animals, I took them for granted for most of my life. So, you know, wasn't a big deal to have tigers or giraffes in my backyard. Like, who doesn't? But it wasn't until after we opened the park and we were a few years in where I saw the impact and just story after story of how the animals were like were changing people's lives. They were impacting people personally, but also just creating these amazing experiences for people and their families, right? And so that's what I love. Like to be able to share what I got to kind of do as a kid, and share these experiences with people, and that's what I love.
Well,
that's
listen,
what I love. That's getting
Matt,
out of bed.
Good luck to you. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. Our guest, Matt Fouts, director, Tanganyika Wildlife Park in Goddard. That's all for this edition of Issues 2022. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.